together. So without further ado, if you have your Bible, open up to the book of Colossians, where we've been in this letter for the last 5 weeks now. And we're going through this letter together, and we're seeing exactly what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians of Colossae to encourage them and instruct them to not give in to the false teachings of the day, but to remain faithful and committed to the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through Him. It's that simple. You commit yourself fully to Him. And Paul is writing to them, encouraging them to remain faithful to that, not to stray away, don't waver because, you know, life is difficult and this way may be easier, or this may be more accepted by the culture, or this may be more accepted overall, and you know, you may be this if you don't waver from the truth, and you may be an outcast, or you may be ridiculed or mocked if you remain faithful, if you remain steadfast on the Word of God and on the promise of God. You may be a little bit different, but it's okay. We've discovered that it's okay to be different in the world so that you could be aligned with Him. And today, as we read through this letter, Paul makes kind of like a pivot in his writing. Up to this point, Paul has been writing to the Christians about not giving in to the false teaching and not following them, and writing to the Christians to remind them to remain committed and faithful, and reminding them of the true gospel. That's it. He's writing to kind of go against the false teaching and remind them of the glory of Jesus and the beauty of Him and all that He came to offer. Now, there's a pivot in his writing because now he starts to address the people. He begins to address the people. And that's where we're going to find today in Colossians chapter 3. So if you have your Bible, let's get there. If you have your phone, scroll down, or you can just follow along on the screen as well. And it says that if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. That is what we have to look forward to one day, to appear with Him and to dwell with Him in glory forever and ever. Praise God, right? Absolutely. And one day we will all dwell with Him in His glory forever and ever and never come back. So he tells them that. And then he goes on to say, to the Christians, put to death therefore what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. And in these, you too once walked when you were living in them. So we've all been in something, all right? We've all got the things, or many things, that we once walked in. And it says that the judgment and the wrath of God is coming upon those. One day they will be. But for those of us who call ourselves Christians and are genuinely following Jesus, who have surrendered ourselves to Him and put our faith and trust in Him, that wrath has already been poured out on a cross 2,000 years ago, and the blood was there to show it. And for those of us that once walked in those things, we could probably go on and on. And Paul's telling them, hey, don't forget you were once there. But put to death those things. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So I know we just covered a lot of ground, a lot of passage of scripture, and Paul talked about a lot. But the gist of this entire section is putting to death the old stuff, the old self, and putting on the new self. And I have to tell you that if you are here today and you say, yeah, I'm a Christian, and I follow Jesus, and I love Jesus, yet you're still doing the same things you did before, then we're not truly putting to death the old stuff and putting on a new self. We have to evaluate what we are doing, what practices did we used to do, and what practices are we doing now. So we have to understand, we have to see that whenever we come to faith in Jesus, there is a transformation that takes place. You know, we are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are not the same. We once were this, we once did that, we once lived like that, but now we live in the glory and in the presence of the Lord each and every day. It may not be perfect, but we are still with him, and we are changed over time. The Spirit of God will work in us to truly conform us and shape us into the best version of Jesus that we can be if we daily put to death the old self and its practices, and put on the new self. So, I have to say that if we are to really put to death the old self and put on the new self, people will see it, right? I mean, people should see it in you that you are changed, that you have been transformed, that you've been set free from this addiction or that issue or that lifestyle. You have been changed. You have been restored, renewed, redeemed, and made new. So I would say that our life would be different from what it once was if we are to truly put on the new self. I'm working on myself, okay? I got to tell you. I'm working on myself. I'm growing out a beard, and I'm trying to put on a new look, trying to lose some weight, you know, get back into shape, put on my beard. Actually, someone said, I didn't recognize you. I said, it's the beard. You know, it's only like 4.5, 6 months, right? You know, it's really coming in pretty solid, working on the new self, better improved self. No, the only reason is I got 3 girls, and I got to look somewhat intimidating, so these punk kids will stay away from my girls, and they'll think twice. So there's always there's a change. There's a difference in the old me and the new me. The old me living in its practices and the new me created and formed in Christ. So we are to be different. We are to see difference in our life. So our life will be different. And I want to just talk about 4 things real quick that we find in this text that we will be able to use kind of as a meter to see exactly how we are living as far as putting on the new self. And with these 4 things that Paul mentions and kind of points us to, we'll be able to evaluate exactly where we are and how we're doing. Like I say all the time, it's not a matter of comparing yourself to the others to see that you're better or to see that you're not as good or to work your way into God's favor. But there are things that we can look at our life and say, you know what, I'm not doing very well in this. I'm fairly decent at that, and these are just 4 things that we'll use as a meter to see how we are doing as far as living a changed life, changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ that sets us free, and putting on a new self. And the first one is found in verse 12 through 14. He said, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness. And in verse 14, he said, and above all these, put on love. Love. And You know, you may wonder, well, what does it mean to put on love? I'm trying to remain holy today, all right? This thing right here, man. You want to see the old me? Give me this stupid thing with a bad battery. Love. He says, put on love, and that binds everything together in perfect harmony. So what does it mean to put on love? Like, how do I just wake up and put on love? I mean, how do I do it? And love isn't just this emotional feeling that we have, like, man, I love my wife, and I love this, or I love that. Paul in 1 Corinthians explains to us exactly what love is. So the Bible tells us that God is love. In 1 Corinthians, we see that exactly defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 4. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And this passage of scripture I'll read in weddings, not just to read because you'll hear it in every single wedding that you go to, but you'll see that the very characteristics of love is simply a choice. Did you know that you choose to be patient? And you choose to lose your patience. Don't blame it on those people that made you mad or cut you off in traffic. No, you chose to lose your patience and tell them that they were number one in your heart. You did that. You choose to lose your patience and not be kind to your kids whenever they spill chocolate milk all over the floor. And after you told them to not put it in a regular cup, put it with the lid on it so they didn't spill it all over the floor. And then you got chocolate milk all over the floor. Yeah, I lose my patience sometimes and I'm not kind when that happens. But I choose to be. I don't get to blame it on them. Like, well, if they just listen to me. I don't know. If I just control myself a little bit better, if I just put on love a little bit more, and if I was just a little more intentional in actually putting on love. So the way we do it is we see that we grow in love. One of the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5 is love. The Bible says that God is love. So the way that you can tell is if you're putting on love is just read this and write each one in a sentence. Am I patient? Am I kind? Do I envy? Am I boastful? Am I arrogant? Am I rude? Do I insist on my own way? Am I irritable or resentful? Do I rejoice at wrongdoing or do I rejoice with the truth? And those are like the love meters in a way that you can see exactly how well you're putting on love. Because the scripture told us that we are to put to death the old self and its old practices and put on then our new self as God's chosen, holy, and beloved. But as you think about the way that we love people, the way that we love the world around us, the way that we love, the way that we show who Jesus is, the way that we grow in love with one another and patience and kindness and humility with each other, we have to be reminded. I want to remind you of this one verse with every point that I make. It's in chapter 3, verse 4 that we just read. It said, when Christ, who is your life, when Christ, who is your life. You know, I say it all the time. Jesus isn't just something to add on to whatever you want to do and then just say, I hope you bless it. I hope you make these things well. No, Jesus is meant to be, as Paul said, your life. Jesus is meant to be my life, and then everything else will work out. If Jesus is my life, my marriage is going to work out. If Jesus is truly my life, then my kids are eventually going to listen, and eventually they're going to work out. And if Jesus is my life, I may not like the job that I am, but God is always going to provide my needs and supply what I need. Not always what I want, maybe not all, as much as I would like, but he's going to supply my needs and he's going to provide for me in ways that only he can. Therefore, when Jesus is my life and I commit myself fully to him, put on the new self, it should be seen by the way that I love. It should be seen in you by the way that you love people, the way that you love strangers, the way that you love your spouse. It should be seen in you the way that we love, when Christ, who is your life. Putting on the new self, it also involves investing. And where I want to go to that is it says, seek the things. I'm quit. Hey, Jeff, can you help me out back there? Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, okay? Seek those things and set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. What Paul is telling us to do is truly set our heart and our minds and our entire lives to invest all that we have and all that he gives to glorify him and on things that are heavenly, not earthly, on things that are eternally, not earthly. And here's the danger. Here's the danger. If we are to truly put on our new self, we worry a little bit less about our 401k. We worry a little bit less about, you know, our bank account. We worry more about the mouths of people that have no food. We worry more about the people that have no clothes. We worry about the people because we have set our hearts and our minds on things that are heavenly, things that are God glorifying rather than things that are earthly. And I'll be the first to admit, like, I have an earthly mind a lot. I do. I get concerned about what people think. I get concerned about what people say. And sometimes I will live in that mindset for a while where I have to try to do more. I have to be better. I have to be more. So maybe they'll be impressed, or maybe they'll get off my back, or maybe they'll tend to like. And over time, it just makes you bitter, and it kind of keeps you from living within the potential that God has created you to live. And what Paul's telling us, as he told them, is stop worrying about some of the things that you're worrying about and invest the time that you have, invest the resources that you have in glorifying him by reaching the people around you, by seeking things that are heavenly, things that are where he is. So some of us are pretty well off financially or with time or with influence. So how do you invest it? I mean, how are we investing the time that God has given us? Every breath that we have is a gift. We were all formed without life until God breathed breath into Adam, and that's when he became a living being. So every breath that we have, how are we investing it? Are we investing it, like Paul goes on to say, everything that we do for in his name? Are we doing it for his glory, for his name? Or are we investing our time in all about us? Does our schedule revolve all around us? Does our pocket revolve all around us? Because there are many people sitting in churches right now, all throughout Potosi, Missouri, all over this nation and around the world, that could solve so many issues by just investing a little more time or a little more resource in people around them. You know, I think we talked about it a few weeks ago in our Sunday school time that you could tell the character by some people's checkbook and their calendar. You can kind of tell our character a little bit by our checkbook and by our calendar. What does it revolve around? Some of us would just do this. It's all about me. If you ask my wife, the reason sometimes we argue is because my world revolves around me. And she's right. I'm not going to deny it, because sometimes I'm very earthly and I like things to go my way. And I like her to be on time. I like her to be where I tell her to be, and to be there when I tell her to be there, and to have the girls ready when I get home, and to do these things. And what it does is it just causes problems. So how are we investing our time? How are we investing our resources? Are we setting our hearts and our minds on things that are above? Or are we just simply focused on what we have now and what we could use now, what we could wear now, what we could use now, what we could drive now, what we could own now? Again, let's not set our hearts on minds and seek things that will eventually rust away, be sold on auctions, and end in dump yards. That's all it is one day. Everything will rot, everything will rust, everything will be auctioned off one of these days. And then Paul goes on to say, we must forgive. He says, if you have a complaint against one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And I know it's hard, because I will be honest with you, I could so easily hold a grudge forever. Anybody else like that? Like, it is kind of fun sometimes to just see you in Walmart and just walk away. Nope. Mm-mm. Not today. I mean, it is easy to see some of the people that have over the years said things or done things that truly pierced me, and just completely ignore them and completely is kind of like write them off dead to me and just completely move on. And what happens is I am reminded every time I see them, every time I hear their name, I am reminded of the offenses that they had made. So really, whenever I do not forgive and whenever I do not allow forgiveness to lead to freedom, because what happens is forgiveness does lead to freedom. If I can forgive people and move forward and get over myself a little bit, then I won't self-imprison myself and hold on to the offenses in which people have said things that they have done. Because here's the deal. If we do not forgive people every time we see them, hear their name, we will be reminded. We will go right back to the offense. And we will keep ourselves in chains forever and ever. Jesus forgave you, he forgave me. After all of the offenses I have against him, he's willing to forgive me. Paul says you must also forgive. I know it's not easy. Forgiveness is difficult. But forgiveness does lead to freedom. And forgiveness does push you forward. If I can just forgive, I'm not going to forget it. Because I hate when people tell me just forgive and forget. I'm not going to forget it. But if I can forgive you and get over myself and say, you know what, after everything that you've done, after everything that you've said, I forgive you. I'm not going to forget it. And we're not going to be perfect afterwards, but I forgive you because I'm commanded to forgive you out of love and understand that we all make mistakes. So you made a mistake against me, just as I make a mistake daily against my Lord. And it's like I pierce him to the tree day after day after day. Yet he remains faithful and forgiving to me. So how dare I just exalt myself into a position that I'm not able to forgive and people are unworthy of forgiveness. He says you must also forgive. And I'm telling you that if we hold grudges, which I have and sometimes don't mind doing and sometimes enjoy, especially against people that I'm supposed to be so close to and they're gone, if I hold that grudge, it will just keep me in chains and I'll never, ever be able to live in the freedom of a potential relationship or moving forward and just getting over that. And what I want you to know is that not forgiving is like self-imprisonment where we just hold the chain around us. So forgive. I know it's hard. It was probably hard hanging on a tree too, knowing everything that I would do. Yes, your will be done, not mine. Forgive. And then he goes on to say, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So if Jesus is my life, it's evident by the way that I love, it's evident by the way I invest my time, my resources. It's evident in the fact that I no longer hold grudges, but I'm able to move forward and forgive and to be free and to just say, you know what? Eventually, I'm going to breathe my last breath and that offense will never bother me again. I'm just going to move forward. And then it's also evident in our effort. Everything that I do, all of my effort should be to exalt the name of Jesus above every other name, above myself, above everything. And I'm going to do everything, whether word or deed, I'm going to do it in his name. Now, here's the deal. I'm not telling you go to work tomorrow and say, I'm not doing that unless it glorifies the name of Jesus. Like I'm not making those copies. I'm not sending that email. That's not God glorifying. I'm not doing it. I'm not telling you that everything you have to do is to be ministry in this capacity or that, but everything that you should do, everything that I do, whether word or deed, though it's not a direct reflection of God's glory, but it is still committed to him. So whenever I get to work and you know, Nag and Nellie starts to remind me of all the people she saw at church but also saw at other places throughout the week, I'm not going to go into it. I'm not going to get into it. You know, when Harry Harold comes by, and instead of being rude and pushing myself off, I'm going to say, you know what, maybe this guy didn't have anyone to talk to all weekend, so I'm going to be here to hear him out. I'm not going to go around gossiping with Susie. I'm not going to go around nagging on people. I'm going to do everything I do to glorify him. So one of those things is just keeping my mouth shut. Or maybe the effort in which I put into is just doing everything with a standard of excellence at work, setting the bar high, showing people how to hold themselves accountable and to discipline themselves. Therefore, that effort is going to teach them that I take pride in what I do, and I don't take anything for granted. I am thankful for the ability to do the job that I have. I'm thankful for the breath in my lungs to be able to get to work and do what I have to do. And then in my effort with my family, with my friends, all of my effort is to bring him glory and honor. So, again, with my investment goes my effort. If I'm only focused on me, all my energy, all my effort will be to make my life as easy as possible, and it will also be to exert energy and effort into having people cater to me. But if I can humble myself and in my effort, anything, everything that I do, word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus Christ, knowing that, you know what, it may just be a phone call, but I pray that this phone call will impact someone's life. It may just be talking to them on our lunch break, but maybe just talking to them will lift their spirits or put a smile on their face. Maybe they're going through something that you have no idea about, and therefore the effort that I have is just sitting down and texting them or talking to them or replying to them. Everything that we do must be done in the name of Jesus our Lord. And if we aren't doing things in His name and if we aren't doing things for His glory, then we have to evaluate where we are. Are we truly putting on the new self? Are we putting to death the old self and its practices? Because I'll be the first to admit, living a life all about myself is pretty fun. I'll just be honest with you. I like when things go my way. I like when people like me. I like when people cater to me. I like when things are done for me. I like when everything's my way and how I like it. Sometimes it's hard to put to death my old self and my old practices and exhaust myself completely for other people. Sometimes it's hard to say, no, I can't do this on Saturday because we have this event going on, or I'm going to not buy that so I can supply food for someone. I'm not going to order this or go there because we have other things to do. I need to spend my energy and spend my effort on ways that will glorify Him, not all the time focused on me. So we see it in the way that we love, the way we invest, the way we forgive, and in our effort. And sometimes I think I'm really creative. I have to tell you. Sometimes I tell Michaela, oh, babe, you ain't seen nothing yet. She's not here to see this. They're in Kentucky. They're at a funeral in Kentucky. And I said, babe, I got the greatest idea about a PowerPoint I've ever done. This is it. This is it. That's pretty impressive. Like, did you see that every word just popped up? It appeared. You know, Michaela did that. I told her what I wanted. She did what I wanted. I was all about me this morning. But I did this. I said, love, invest, forgive, effort. It's found throughout the text, and it's found because what I started to realize is that if Christ is my life, look at what else pops up. When Christ is my life, He will be seen through, typo. That was my fault. Sorry. Jeff, I thought I told you to take that down a little bit. That was me going back trying to correct something I thought was wrong and I messed it up. So when Christ is my life, He will be seen through my life. The words in life, L-I-F-E, love, invest, forgive, effort. And the question we have to ask ourselves today is He seen in my life? Those are the characteristics of putting on a new self. Because I love differently, I invest differently, I forgive, and my efforts are now spent on Him. So we just have to evaluate where we are today. What is seen through my life? What is in all that I do? And I would tell you that if you would be honest with yourself and say He's not seen in my life, then we have probably not put to death the old self and His practices. We're probably still wandering around in our sin and in our shame. And we're probably still living however we want. And I would tell you that if you were to leave here and say, you know what, I'm going to love differently, I'm going to invest my time, resources differently, I'm going to forgive people, and I'm going to spend my effort for Him, you would see an amazing change in the world around you by simply giving Jesus what is His, your life. Your life. So you maybe came in today and realized, you know what, I don't love people very well. I invest everything for me. I don't forgive. And all my efforts for myself, for my name. And I would tell you that today you're able to call upon the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and seek his forgiveness and living a life about yourself, surrendering everything to him, submitting your ways and your will to him. And you can walk out of this place differently than you came in. And your life truly be changed. Let's pray together.